KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy, we have rain, and it's 39 degrees. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer, located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In state news, two residents have escaped injury from a smoky fire that damaged the basement of their home in Forest City. The fire was reported around 5 p.m. Sunday. Fire Chief Mark Johnson blamed a space heater in the basement. The heater had been plugged into an overloaded socket and had been surrounded by combustible materials. Damage from the flames was limited to the basement, but smoke filled the house. The two women who lived there didn't report any injuries to themselves or their cats. Eight women and three men face charges after a prostitution sting in Council Bluffs. The Daily Nonpareil reports the Council Bluffs Police Department conducted a covert operation last Wednesday at an area hotel. Sergeant Bob Christensen said undercover officers set up meetings with clients and prostitutes via the internet. Those arrested on suspicion of prostitution include 30-year-old Holly Marks of Omaha, who was also cited for possession of marijuana, 33-year-old Misty S. Cook of Council Bluffs, 25-year-old Amanda D. Spencer, no address was listed, 27-year-old Ashley T. Moss, 23-year-old Antoinette L. Tyson, 28-year-old Tara D. Marie, and 22-year-old Ramesha Brown, all of Omaha, along with 20-year-old Latasha Jones of San Antonio, Texas, 49-year-old James D. Alexander of Deerfield, Illinois, 25-year-old James C. Welty of Elkhorn, Nebraska, and 49-year-old Andrew J. Cornack of Blair, Nebraska. Christensen said undercover agents pretend to be both clients and workers. About 15 officers involved in the operation were at a Council Bluffs hotel from 10 a.m. until midnight on Wednesday. Prostitution is an aggravated misdemeanor, according to Iowa code. Officials in Sioux City are keeping an eye on winter weather to help determine when a new children's museum under construction will be ready to open to the public. The Sioux City Journal reports the Children's Museum of Siouxland was scheduled to open by next summer, but officials later said it would be open by October. Darren McPhee is the museum's interim director. He says the organization will have a more concrete date of projection completion once the project warms up, or rather the weather warms up, that is. And after a decade of planning, officials broke ground last October for the $7 million, 16,000-square-foot museum. The city council is expected to vote today on a measure that would cut hours at most parks in Sioux City. The ordinance would change the closing time at most parks to 9 p.m. instead of 11 p.m., City officials say removing people from parks earlier would help stop neighbors' noise complaints before they're made. Under the measure, the city manager will be able to grant park access to individuals and groups outside of regular park hours. Well, the Iowa Association of Realtors found the number of homes sold in November were down from a year ago. Association President John Yoakum says that's only part of the story.
We did have a decrease over a year ago in the amount of homes that sold, but our sale price is up, so that's telling us that the market is still strong.
Home sales were down nearly 11% from the same month last year to 2,600 homes. He said several factors held back sales in November, including the election.
Everybody was bombarded with advertisements on a regular daily basis. Every time you watched a program, you had to watch what seemed like 5 hours of election coverage. And I think that just weighed heavy on people's decision to say, hey, let's see what happens, what plays out.
Yoakum said the weather also had an impact.
Late October and early November, we had some cold temperatures as well, which was a little unusual. Usually it doesn't get as cold as it did.
The average sale price of a home sold in Iowa was up 4.1% over November of last year. Yoakum says the November numbers are based on the sales that closed, so the transactions that started in late November aren't reflected. He says it appears business picked up late in the month and into this month.
A lot of agents are busy, even though it is the holiday season. So there's still a lot of activity going on out there. I think the little bit of a warm spell we had here helped to keep people interested. I know a lot of people are out showing houses, so I think that'll transpire into transactions being written and closings later on.
He says the little warm spell we had recently should translate into some more sales. Gas prices have been steadily going down, and Yoakum says that impacts one segment of the housing market.
When you get in your smaller rural communities where people want to live in that rural area, but the fuel cost and the drive time weighs heavy on their decision. with the fuel prices dropping as much as they have, that's opening the doors for people to say, hey, maybe now's the time to make that purchase out in the smaller suburbs and smaller communities.
Yoakum says interest rates remain very low, which also continues to be a factor in people making a decision on home ownership. Well, the future of the former Iowa juvenile home facility in Toledo remains murky, and questions about how the state will care for delinquent girls linger. Supporters of the facility hope the state will decide soon what to do with it, but lawsuits related to the closure of the juvenile home complicate the situation. Bill Scow says it's sad to see the facility sat empty like a ghost town. Scow was one of the founders of the foundation that had supported the juvenile home. The Iowa juvenile home closed in January after questions were raised about the treatment of teenagers, including the use of isolation cells and a lack of educational opportunities. But a year ago, the facility housed 21 youths and employed 93 staff members. Four former employees of a Texas company that was ordered to pay millions for mistreating mentally disabled workers in Iowa have been placed in protective care in South Carolina. The New York Times reports the former Henry's Turkey Service employees had spent years living in a dilapidated Newberry, South Carolina bunkhouse. Deputy Sheriff Todd Johnson said four adults were removed from that bunkhouse last week, and authorities are investigating the situation. Henry's Turkey Service sent hundreds of mentally disabled men from Texas to labor camps in seven states. In Iowa, 32 workers lived in a rundown former schoolhouse in Altalissa for years while working long hours for roughly $65 a month and enduring abuse. The University of Iowa's president is proposing creation of an Ames Institute on the Iowa City campus.
And Ames stands for Autonomous Intelligent Machines and Systems. And yes, it does mean cars that will drive themselves.
University of Iowa President Sally Mason said she looks forward to the day when she can get in a car and have it do the driving for her.
Experts have indeed predicted that autonomous vehicles will be mainstream on U.S. highways by 2026, that this will lead to reduced traffic and pollution, increased safety and energy conservation, and more independent mobility for the elderly and physically challenged.
Mason is asking the governor and legislators to provide $1 million in each of the next 3 years to create a public-private partnership between the U of I and companies like John Deere and Rockwell Collins that are developing machines that do not require a human operator.
Iowa has the ideal combination of soils, streets, spaces, and skies to develop and test and commercialize, ultimately, autonomous technologies. And the University of Iowa has complementary research expertise and facilities.
Mason lists laboratories on campus like the National Advanced Driving Simulator and Injury Prevention Research Center as facilities that could be used in the research. She says federal grants are available for this kind of collaboration between people who work at a university and people who work in a business, and she proposes creation of a board of directors that would guide the Institute's research, and it would include officials and researchers from the University of Iowa, along with people from the Iowa businesses involved in such research. Mason made her comments during a budget presentation in the governor's office. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.